Quick question. What did she just play for offertory? Okay. Pianists like to know that people really hear what they're playing, you know. It makes a big difference there. You know, every time they have me, it's different. Now tonight, Miss Betty wanted to sing a long song, solo, and I told her I just didn't have time for her. I left her out last time when we did it and lots of people took part, and she's just begged to sing tonight. But we're going to hold it for another night there so that she can sing for us another night. So Miss Betty, you've been practicing up. There were three men talking, and you may have heard this story, and I like to start off with something to get you to smile. They were talking, and they were talking about funerals. And one of them said, well, what would you want to be said at your funeral? Or what would you want other people to say? And one of them said, oh, I'd want them to say I was a good businessman, a wonderful businessman. And the second one said, well, I'd want them to say that, oh, I was a fine Christian. I was a really good Christian. And the third one said, I'd want them to say, look, he's moving. Okay. Got you smiling there a little bit there, so. Think about that a little while. Talking to Brother Carl a minute ago, we was talking about memory. I used to never use notes when I spoke because I'll either drop them or lose them or put them down or something. And now I'm scared to even get up without a note, you know. Almost the part that says I'm Ray Allison, I almost need to put it down there so I get that right too, but I'm a little better off than that tonight. When we get to the end tonight, I'll make sure you understand why we did what we did. It has a purpose, so we're not just wandering along. And I'll wander all over the place. That's why they got me wired up here. And if I go up and down the steps, it's all right, but I will stumble if I go up and down the steps because I'm just good at that. So don't be surprised. I entitled this, I don't usually give it a title, but I gave it a title, Mama and Daddy Said. My mama and daddy were both very, very strong Christians. My daddy led the singing, sang in the choir, took part in all the men's activities. He was a big fisherman. He went fishing just about every day when he got off from work for just a little while. He had to go fishing. But he was a strong Christian. He was a deacon, and he taught little boys Sunday school class and teenage young men's class. He taught that too. He took part in a little bit of everything. My mama sang in the choir. She was in all the women's activities. She taught Sunday school class. She was one of those women that when something happened in the community, somebody died or something, the first person they're going to call to please come was my mama. I thought she ought to have a medical degree. I don't know what they called her other than comfort. I know why they called her, but they were, that's the kind of background I came from with my mom and daddy. And tonight I want to go over some things that my mom and daddy have said. And if you come up with some that I don't have down, you just chime right in. Now you're going to need your Bible. And we're going to look up some verses as we go along. And I first just wrote down some that I haven't really done anything with. I just thought about. Did your parents ever tell you, shut the door? Were you raised in a barn? Yes. And it didn't help you a bit shutting the door, did it? You still left it open probably most of the time. Mine were good at saying, where have you been? Where are you going? Who's going with you? And what time are you going to be back? Actually, they didn't ask that last one. Usually they told me what time I was going to be back. This is a good one. If everyone jumped in the river, would you jump too? I thought about that one before, you know. Sometimes you do things just because everybody else did them, but they used to ask that. And then I've heard them say many times, I'm not going to tell you that again. But they would. And the story that comes to my mind on that is, I was at a theater watching a movie, and there was a lady sitting in front of me with her little boy, and he was acting up awful. And she said to him, "You do that again, I'm going to take you out." Well, he did it again. He just kept cutting up, and she said it again, "I'm going to take you out." And she said it the third time. I started to lean up and say, "If you won't take him, I'll take him for you. We'll get this straightened out, you know." But you hear parents do that a lot of times who really don't mean. They're bluffing, you know, and not being really honest with their kids, you know. But you do that again, and you're going to pay the price for it. Okay, let me start down through the list and go through some of the things that Mom and Daddy said. One that was famous for my mama: "Just wait till your daddy gets home." I hated to hear that, because then in a little while the door would slam and Daddy would say, "I'm home." And I should have said, "Oh, goody," you know, but I thought, "Oh, me." My parents believed in discipline. I got spankings. Now, I didn't get beatings. We didn't do that in our family. We didn't beat each other or fight like that, fist fight or anything like that. But I got spankings. And most of the time, after my daddy spanked me, because my mother didn't spank me, my daddy spanked me, then he'd go off and cry. You know, he had a big heart. He was a big-hearted man. That my daddy is the one who, when you sang a solo at church, if he didn't cry, you didn't do a good job. So, you know, you got to judge it from him. He had a big heart, but he showed it with his tears. Turn to Proverbs 3. Most of these things we're going to do tonight are going to be in Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 11 and 12. I just want anybody to read it, but read loud, please, so everybody can hear you. I would read these myself, but past few Sundays I've used Proverbs in my Sunday school class for my lessons, and I've worn out the chapter of Proverbs. All the Proverbs are just torn up in my Bible, so I'll have to rely on you, okay? Right here. Why do we get corrected? It's love. The basis of correction is love. And the Father has to correct us out of His great love for us. Now, I do remember that famous saying, too, "This will hurt me more than it does you." I never thought that was true, but now, I guess it was. My dad, he would get so upset after it was over. But we know that, we know what they meant. Proverbs 15:5. Who is it that doesn't want to be corrected? The fool. That's right. Why? Because he wants to run his life the way he wants to. Whether it's right or wrong or whoever it hurts, he wants to do it his way. But God says we're listening to him. This is a good place to put an honest story in. Sometimes you can't. My mom and daddy weren't what I'd really call. Well, they were tough in many ways. They were tough on me. But little sweet Donna that y'all saw in the wheelchair, I know some of you said, "She's so sweet." Let me tell you, you don't ever cross a first grade teacher. You don't ever do that. That's a mistake. And I was principal at the high school, and we were having a big basketball game. The stands were just full. There were about 1,000 people there. And two guys up at the top of the bleachers had gotten right up in each other's face about to go to it. And one of them was a big 200-pound football player. And before I could even get, I was across the gym, and I saw it. And as I started to cross the floor to get to them, I looked up, and there was Donna. She had already gotten up there to him and had the big one by the arm and took him out. So don't say people are tough. People can be tough when they don't look like it on the outside. Amen. And you know, that big old boy came for visitation when we had visitation for her funeral, and he remembered that. He's a policeman now, all of that. But she was tough. And we hope we were tough on our children, because both our children are Christian, have a Christian family, and I'm proud of my boys. I'm proud of my grandchildren too, and I'm proud of my boys. I tried to think today, my mind not being as good as it ought to be, I don't know if I ever spanked them or not. I think I spanked Jason maybe twice. I was like that, it just hurt me all over to have to spank him. And I also left out, I'll tell you this, I left out one of the verses, I left out a lot of verses on these things I'm going to talk about, but one of them I left out was the one talking about the rod, using the rod. Now, the gospel according to Ray Allison is, that was back in a different time, and I'd like to think there was a different interpretation of that. We don't use rods on people, you know. My daddy never used anything on me except his hand. You know, I hear some people talk about being spanked with a belt. That would have been better to me, because that belt would have given a little bit, but his hand didn't give any other than it gave me a lot of pain. But I can say my parents never abused me with discipline. Amen. And that's, I think God expects you as parents to administer discipline as long as it is fair discipline and reasonable discipline. And I'd like to call it Christian discipline. The second thing my mom and daddy said, remember who you are. Don't you disgrace our family name. You know, back then as a kid, I thought, well, you know, there aren't any more Allisons around here. But, you know, but my daddy was saying, don't you mess up the Allison name. Don't you do anything that messes up the name or your reputation. Turn to Proverbs 22:1. He always reminded me, your actions can reflect on a lot of other people. And you know that too. Even as a Christian, our actions as a Christian can reflect on the world out there when they see us and they say, well, they say they're a Christian. Look how they're acting. Okay, Proverbs 22:1.
Good deeds rather than be chosen than great riches. Loving favor rather than the silver and gold.
Yes, even better than being rich is to have the name that honors who? Yes. God. Did you honor Jesus? Did you your name is glory to them. And that's important, because people won't pay attention to your witness if you're not living the kind of life you have. It'll be the wrong kind of witness. So my mom and daddy knew what they were talking about. Some of these things, you know, I wonder, where did they get to be so smart? But they were. Proverbs 23:22. In other words, treat your parents like you're supposed to. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long. You are to have respect for your father and your mother. I cannot stand anybody to, this is gospel according to Raylan. I don't like to hear people say, my old lady, or my old man. That was my daddy and my mama. I also wouldn't have wanted to use their names in any wrong ways, or everything about the family. I was to make sure that I lived my life the way I should, so that the name in the family was right. Exodus 20:12. This is one of the few, I've got a few that are out of different books. My daddy also used to say, and this may have been one you heard, am I going to have to make a believer out of you? And I don't think he was talking about believing in the Lord. But he did say that. Somebody read that one.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy day may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
There you go. And who told you to do that? God said for you to do that. That you are to honor your parents just as you are to honor God. We live in a world today where parents are not honored. We see where there are kids that abuse their parents. We see cases where kids actually kill their parents. We honor them. And that's God telling us to do that. That's one of His commandments. I wrote this down. They're saying many times, how many times do I have to tell you this? And you know, I always thought it was cute to say, four. You know, wrong thing. You know, I'll say that in this light. We laugh about that. But you know what? Sometimes we do God that way. We're not actually a smart aleck, but we say things in God. We make things that are holy to God too casual to us. And we live in a world that doesn't mind doing that. Mama and my daddy was mostly on this one. Watch your mouth. You better watch what you say. Proverbs 15:4. Is the mightiest weapon that we have. Our tongue. Because once words are out, you can't bring them back in. You can try, but once they're out, they're out. You may wish you didn't say what you said, but once you've said it, it's too late. And God even reminds us to be careful with His name. He talks about profanity, and He tells us to be careful with His name. Now I'm going to step on some toes right here. This is the gospel according to Ray again. This is my own personal belief. And I see it every, I hear it every day because I watch The Price is Right lots of times. Just casually. And they'll run up on the stage and you know what they'll say? I'm going to say it so that you understand. My God, my God, my God. They're not talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. If they were, they'd give a testimony right there. But they're not doing that. They're using the Lord's name in vain. I don't like that. And maybe that's just part of your background or where you come from. People say that a lot. I don't like for it to be said around me because I think that's putting my God down. Gospel according to Ray there. Also, your mouth and watching your mouth is you are to be truthful. God tells us He's the way and the truth. And truth needs to come out of your mouth and on that tongue. It's easy for Satan to use that tongue in the wrong way. We need to teach our children because they're not getting it. They don't care. I don't mean all children. You know that. I'm not trying to put down everybody's kid. But many of those out there don't think anything about lying. The truth doesn't mean anything to them. The truth comes from God. And we are to honor God with that. Now, I kid and joke a lot about the truth. Here comes another Donna story. 3 days before she died, she was semi-conscious, but barely could talk to us. And she did let us know she wanted us to get around the bed and sit on the bed and tell stories. Now, when she and I would sit there and watch television, we had some little signals because I got in the last few months where everything that came on, it was, even if it was one of her favorite shows, I'd say something about it to aggravate her and get her going. So she learned three signals. That means stop, hush. That means you're just talking, but you're not saying anything. That means, you're wrong. So we got around her bed to tell stories, and there were about five of us around the bed there, and we told a story. And I thought when it came to my turn, well, she did after the first, about the second one, we thought that was enough for her, and she said more. So it came my turn. The one thing she hated with me was when it was bath time or washing her hair. And when we washed her hair, she'd say, why don't you do this to me? It was like a script. She said the same words. And I'd say, because I want you to be clean. But I'm not dirty. I'd say, but we're all dirty. Donna loved her bath and her hair washing time. And I'm so glad I got to do it because she loved that. And in the middle of my telling you, she said, she up the bench, she could hardly raise her arm. But she put that arm in and she said, I really did it because I wanted to know if she was really hearing what we were saying. And she was. And she knew what we were saying. The truth's important. And it's important for you to teach your kids that. We assume so many things with kids. Oh, they'll learn the truth. They know the difference in what's true and what's not true. Yeah, a lot of them know the difference, but they don't use it. You got to practice it. The Bible tells us so many things in there. Proverbs particularly. Practice this, practice this, practice that. My mom and dad used to tell me all the time, are you practicing the piano this week? Because it was time for a piano lesson. And I'll tell you that because my mom and daddy gave up a lot for me to play the piano. There were plenty of days that they weren't sure what we were going to have to eat because they were going to make sure they had the money for that piano lesson. Now, I didn't know that until years later. But they made sure that they did what they wanted to do for their children. And they did that out of love. One, that they wanted to hear anybody playing the piano, because I've heard Daddy say before, you can stop now for a little while, because he got tired of the scale over and over again. But you see, our mouth is so important. It's so important what we say. Somebody read Proverbs 18:21. And somebody else be looking up Exodus 27.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
Death and life. You can destroy a person's life with your tongue. A lie can destroy a person's life because you can plant a seed about somebody and other people from that point on will doubt about it. Even though they say, well, I know they wouldn't have done that. And they wouldn't have maybe, but you planted the seed. You left it down, all right? Exodus 27.
Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless for taking his name in vain.
The Lord will hold you guilty for doing that. He says, don't you take my name in vain. It's holy. All right, one more here. I believe it's Proverbs 11:13. All right. Keeping a secret. I guess a good word to use here is gossip. Telling something. When somebody gives you a secret, I'm talking about a legitimate secret and something in their life they don't want you to tell, that's a part of your Christian ministry is you don't tell it. A secret is a secret, particularly when it can hurt somebody. But gossip hurts people. And there are plenty of people around us that we have to be aware of that who love to tell gossip. You know, I hear all of this going on about the women being abused and all of that, and I agree that should never happen. But sometimes I wonder if people are getting in on that and wanting to hurt somebody who really didn't do anything abusive, but they wanted to get at them. It's a way you can get at somebody else, you see, is to abuse their name. That's that tongue again, and it can cause a life to die as a result of it. My mama never gossiped to my knowledge. My mama never talked about anybody except in a good way. My mama was a very calm lady, and that was one of the reasons I think they called her when the times would come that they needed somebody. I didn't get that part of her. I'm not calm. Now, I got my daddy, and my daddy had a temper. But he controlled it. But he had a temper. My daddy was one of these people that went to the basketball games and was lucky he didn't get kicked out. But everybody at home knew him. And at my daddy's funeral, I got up and I said, my daddy has said he has never seen an honest referee. because he really felt that way. He felt like because we were a little town and a little school, they picked on us. But my mom was just always just as calm, and she'd say, Raymond, you know, and he'd keep quiet for a minute. Then he'd start up again. Daddy said, pick your friends carefully. We sing that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. That ought to tell us how important the word friend is. Friend is of the heart. It's not just, hey, we're good buddies. It's much deeper than that when you use that word friend. Proverbs 27:17. So that tells us you have an influence on other people, on your friends. Iron sharpens iron, rubbing together. And you change another person's life many times, and you don't even know it. You don't even realize it. That's being a true friend, is caring about that other person enough that you want to sharpen them, that you want them to sharpen you. Works both ways, you see. We should have that kind of influence on other people. If we're going to win the world, they've got to see Christ in us. And your friends ought to see Christ in you. And you need to make sure that you don't have a friend that's lost. I don't mean you don't make lost people your friends. I mean, if they're lost and you call them your friend, then you need to tell them about Christ. Proverbs 1:10.
My son,
you see, sinners will draw you into things that you don't need to be drawn into. A true friend won't do that. But now we're all sinners. But we're talking about that person who lets sin rule their life. That lost man in particular. They draw you in, and they get you in, and they'll lead you off in the wrong direction. Here's another saying. I heard this many times from my mom and daddy, and you tell me what you think it was applying to. We're going to be late. Church. Every Sunday morning. I can hear my daddy saying, we're going to be late. And I can hear my mama saying, we sure are. And usually she was saying, I told y'all to get going earlier. We only lived a block from the church. But I'll tell you what, I don't ever remember us being late. We always thought we were going to be, but we never were. It was there at the very beginning. I believe this is... Somebody read Proverbs 20. Verse 8. I didn't write down what book this is, but I think it may be Exodus. I'm not sure.
And the king that sitteth in the third of the
benefit
scattereth away all evil with
his eyes. No. That's not it. Erase that from your mind. A little mind control here. Okay, let's try Exodus 20, verse 8.
Remember the Sabbath day,
keep it holy. There we got it. Now that doesn't say if you're sick, you gotta be here. Because, you know, there are reasons you can't come. Or if there's something happened in your family or something like that. But it is talking about you're not keeping the Sabbath day holy if you're choosing whether or not you're gonna go. And I never heard it at my house. Anybody say, are we going tomorrow? When it was Wednesday. It was Wednesday night prayer meeting. I don't care if it was snowing, if it was raining or what. It was Wednesday night prayer meeting. If it was Sunday, we were going to be at church. If it was Sunday morning, we were going to be at church. If it was Sunday night, we were going to be at church. And when revival time came, and I miss revivals. I really do. We used to have some wonderful revivals. I remember when we have revival, it was supposed to last a week. At the end of the week, everybody said, let's go another week. And they'd have another week. Now we've cut them most of the time to 3 days. That's more than we can handle most of the time. No. But my folks didn't give me a choice about whether we were going to God's house or not. I've heard my daddy say before, but I don't believe God told us this week he didn't want us to come. Because he always does what I'm saying. You know, a lot of these things, particularly I should have gone, this goes back to the discipline part. Sometimes I thought when I did something bad, that I was must have been affecting my mom and daddy's health. Because I've heard him say many a time, I'm so sick and tired of that. And I thought, well, boy, they're sick and tired a lot, you know. They must not be doing very good, you know. I used to wade in the ditch out in front of our house after a big rain. And I remember one in particular, myself and the neighborhood kids, we were out there barefoot wading in that muddy water. And my mama said, you're going to hurt yourself if you get out of that water. Well, I did while she was standing at the door. But as soon as she left the door, I went back wading again. And sure enough, the very first thing I did was step on a piece of glass. And you know, I didn't have to have any stitches, but you know what? I think the Lord used this. It left a really good scar. And every morning when I put on my socks, I see that scar, and it reminds me to honor thy father and thy mother. And listen to your mama when she talks about wading in the ditch. Don't do it. Ephesians 6:1. Obey your parents in the Lord. We don't, you know, a lot of people don't tie parents and obeying all that with the Lord. All that comes from the Lord. And he said, you obey your parents. That's respect again. Did you ever have your parents say, that's none of your business? Now, that usually applied in our home two ways. One, they were talking about something they didn't want me to hear. And they'd say, that's none of your business. But most of the time, it was when I was talking about somebody saying, so-and-so at school or after I heard this or that, and my dad'd say, that's not any of your business. You stay out of it. Proverbs 26:17. Some of you are looking and saying, is he ever going to run out of cards? I'm getting close. Getting close. Just hang on. We're going to make it. Punch Ethan and wake him up there.
He that has a fire, and a man of good strength, belonging unto him, like one that kicketh the dog by the ears.
Don't meddle. Don't get in other people's business. That doesn't mean you don't care about them. If there's something you ought to be in, there's some way you can help them. But meddling is sticking your nose in where it doesn't belong. That's the one my daddy used to say too. Then I used to hear my mom and daddy say so many times, have you done your homework? And my answer was usually a one-word answer, almost. Or I'd say, I'm almost through, even if I hadn't started it yet. I was almost through. Now, I never told an out-and-out lie, because if I had put the pencil on the paper, I figured I had started. You know, and so almost was not exactly a lie. 2 Timothy 2:15. Anybody? Go ahead. Study. Study. I never heard teachers say that too much. I didn't like that word. Study. But study to show thyself approved. God expects you to study. Your parents expected you to study, but God expects you to study. And that tells us something. We're going to get another one right here in just a minute. God says work is good. Now, my daddy has told me before, God expects you to work. It's good. God thinks work is good. And I thought, Daddy, you must be crazy. You know, it can't be good. Somebody read Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. Proverbs 6, 6 through 8. The word that's so important there is providing. We are to provide for our families. We are to provide for our friends. And it's done by work, and work is good. And there are many more verses in the Bible that tell us that work is good. My daddy said, and my mama said, don't be a wise guy. That didn't mean they didn't want me to have wisdom. That was kind of another one of those ways to watch your mouth. Don't be a wise guy. You know we do as kids how to say something just the right way. Usually it led to some other problems. But one of the things they're telling us when they said that was, listen to me. Listen to me. Pay attention to what I'm telling you. Proverbs 2, 1. No, I'll tell you, but we're not going to read all that one. You sometimes read Proverbs 2, 1 through 12. That'll tell you about wisdom, and the word that sticks out in that is evil. Satan loves to get in your mind, in your tongue, in your mouth. Satan loves to use you in an evil way. You got to be alert. You got to be awake all the time with it. Then one, I got about three more here. My daddy and mama used to say, money isn't everything. Of course, what would being the good son, I'd say, right, no. What do you usually say when somebody says that? You buy everything, but you'll say, it sure, no, but it sure beats the second one. You know, whatever the second most important is, money's important. Proverbs 28, 22. So caught up in trying to be rich that evil can come into our lives and we don't honor God. Same chapter 28, verse 20.
A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent.
I'm sorry, we get so caught up in rich that we don't get our lives right. Same chapter, verse 25. 28, 25.
He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat.
That's right. We'll stir things up the wrong way if we don't put our trust in the Lord. And the last one, 28, verse 27. Should be aware of the people around us and their situations. And we are. We need to be aware of folks. I'm not going to take the time to read this because I've gone over as I always do. But you read tonight before you go to bed, read Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, where it tells you what God hates. You've read that before. But we need to be reminded of what God hates. Proverbs 22, 6. This kind of sums up a lot of it right here. 22, 6. All right, we got two of them going there. Train up a child in the way he will go, he should go. He won't depart from it. Even though sometimes our kids may stray away from God, if we have brought them up in the fear of God and the respect of God, then they will come back to Him. That's what all this is about, is teaching your children. And the last one I had down was, my mom and daddy used to tell me, give your life to Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus at the age of 8 years old. I start mentioning my age in Sunday school class. I had a full discussion on my age this morning. Because I told them I played the piano in my church at home for 60 years. And they said, well, that just couldn't be. Well, I started when I was 12 years old. Because they didn't have anybody playing. I was taking piano and they discovered I could play by ear. So that kind of one thing led into another. But at 8 years old, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And I never regretted that. And of course, that brings about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, all of this that we've gone over, the point is this. If God is in our life, he should be in all of our life. And if we want to know how to guide our life, you've got the book in your hand. And he will tell you how to guide your life, what direction you should go with your life. And when you follow this book, you're not going to go wrong. Now, my question was, how did my mom and daddy get so smart? Where did they get all this? They got it out of God's Word because they were Christians. And God's Word is so important. I heard this yesterday. 40% of the Christians in America, the Christians, never read their Bible except in Sunday school. They bring it and open it in Sunday school. 40% of the Christians in America don't read their Bible at home. Wow. You know, that's hard for me to understand because the Bible is so important to me. But there's your roadmap right there. And that's how my mom and daddy got to be so strong as Christians and so wonderful and compassionate and loving. That's why they raised such a wonderful son. One of these cards, I just think in one of the cards I left out was talking about boasting and bragging. My mom and my daddy used to remind me when he'd say, I don't think you need to brag about yourself. I think you need to go look in the mirror. And that's the way we learn sometimes. But all this comes from God. He's there for everything in our lives, and it's all in his word. Question or comment, anybody? Last chance.